an organization that researches FGM, and they're called Orchid Project. We came up with this idea together, which was essentially helping to bring their research to life through storytelling, because, you know, as I'm sure everyone can appreciate, research and numbers and spreadsheets, not entirely exciting and, you know, going to get people wanting to learn more about this issue. And obviously what people remember are people and stories and things that tug on your heartstrings.
Instead of getting a download number, which doesn't tell you whether they played it or didn't, this is number of plays, the actual listen time of each fan, aggregated into a total listen time. It's nice metrics to be able to give advertisers or sponsors. Yes, my show gets 70 hours of listen time a week.
In fact, I think I've done one better, because rather than giving myself the extra work, all I've done is I've waited for one of the biggest podcast apps to decide they should display my chapters and become a follow-along app. Welcome to Creators from True Fans. I'm independent podcaster Claire Waite Brown.
And I'm Sam Seffi, the CEO of True Fans.
Each episode, we'll chat with an independent creator, whether a podcaster or musician, about their creative experiences.
And we'll answer questions from independent creators about the True Fans features that can help them with discovery, interactivity, and monetization.
We'll get interactive and see what our listeners have been saying in the comments and super comments.
And discuss what's happening in the wider world that could be of benefit to independent creators. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Which independent podcaster are we going to feature this week?
This time, I'm chatting with Anna Stockline about the most recent series of her podcast, which is called The Story of Woman. The most recent series was recorded on location in Kenya. And for this three-part series, Anna spoke with survivors, activists, and community leaders to reveal the human stories behind the headlines and the statistics around female genital mutilation. So here's my chat with Anna. I'm here today with Anna Stockline. Anna, how are you?
I am super. How are you today, Claire?
Very well, thank you. Start by telling me about your podcast, what it's called, and what is it all about?
Yeah, so my podcast is called The Story of Woman, and I'm looking at the world through a gendered lens. So topics have ranged from politics and healthcare to the way we design our city streets and everything beyond. And most recently, I undertook a project that took me down to Kenya, where I did a three-part in-person series looking at the topic of female genital mutilation. And this was a story that really looked at the strength and untapped potential of women within these communities, and also what these girls and women and the communities as a whole are doing to rewrite that story and to change things from the inside out. So, you know, we may get into it more, but just to say, as harrowing as a topic as that kind of is and can be, for me, it was really a story of strength and power, and what these girls and women in communities are doing to stop a tradition, a practice that's been around since the pyramids.
It definitely does that in the finished article. As a listener, that's how I feel about it, but also teaching me more into the background and why people do it for their very different reasons, what that background is. So that was really useful for me as well. Thinking of that particular series, why, how, how did you come to decide to cover this topic, to take yourself to Africa? Tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah. So thank you, by the way, for what you said about it kind of clearing up some things with that issue, that topic altogether, because that was definitely a big motivating factor to create it, was to help dispel, you know, myths, and especially for us who come from cultures where it's not practiced as widely, though it is still practiced. It all just aligned pretty serendipitously. So I was living in East Africa for about 6 months. So I didn't go there for this project, but I went there for personal reasons, of which, you know, we can delve into, but that might need to be a different episode. But I found myself living in Kenya and the region for about 6 months. And while I was down there, I was just thinking about how there's all these humanitarian organizations, NGOs, nonprofits that exist in the region, you know, all these different topics and issues that I had kind of more theoretically spoken about or spoken to with my previous seasons. Now I'm there where a lot of these organizations are on the ground doing different types of work. So that just kind of gave me an idea. Perhaps I can team up with one of them and help to tell their story. It helped to tell one of these stories in this way. Because before this series, all of my seasons had been, you know, sat behind a computer screen and speaking to someone who's an expert in their area in one way or another. Whereas this would be, you know, on the ground and speaking to all different types of people, you know, more everyday people and with a whole lot of voices versus just one one-on-one interview. So I kind of cast the net far and wide with this idea in mind and ended up connecting with an organization that researches FGM, and they're called Orchid Project, and they have headquarters here in London as well as in Nairobi. And we came up with this idea together, which was essentially helping to bring their research to life through storytelling, because, you know, as I'm sure everyone can appreciate, research and numbers and spreadsheets, not entirely exciting and, you know, going to get people wanting to learn more about this issue. And obviously what people remember are people and stories and things that tug on your heartstrings more than statistics, which is what this research company focuses on, which is very important. But so I was tasked with helping to bring their story to life and the impact of the work that they do through the podcast series.
I know they have their own experts, some of whom are on the show. Were they able to put you in touch with other people as well?
Exactly. So they have a lot of different partners on the ground. So they don't just work in Kenya, they're global. But since we were really looking at that region, they have partners on the ground that they work with. So I was put in touch with them. And the series, I speak to two quite different communities. One is a Somali community in Nairobi, and one is a Maasai kind of indigenous community and group out in rural Kenya. And we picked the two different communities because their stories are quite different. And that's a little microcosm of how all of the stories of why it happens and why it's hard to stop and all of that, you know, it's very, very different depending on which community that we're speaking about and which time period within that community we're speaking about. So I was put in touch with different organizations that are working on the ground to kind of educate and transform from within these two different communities.
You've already said about sitting on a computer doing interviews. It's quite a different overall show. It's like a documentary. You've got clips, you've got music. So a different form of production for you, I imagine. How did you find the time to do that? Did you enjoy that? Just tell me a bit about that.
I love this question because I am just filled with joy, like recalling the process of this type of production. And it indicated to me that this is the type of creative storytelling I like to do. It was very different than, yeah, sitting behind a computer screen, interviewing someone and, you know, doing a bit of editing. But a lot of that is kind of pre-production, getting your questions in order and kind of already having that flow. Whereas this was, I ended up with 30 plus hours of raw audio of all these different voices, the vast majority of which, you know, probably 90% of which were in Swahili or in local Maasai language, neither of which I speak. So there was also that component to it. But you end up with 30 plus hours of raw audio that you then have to come up with this story that is a mix of exactly as you say, the voices of the people I spoke with and the narration that I wrote out and then narrated in between. So it was a very, very different process, but it was a big learning for me that this felt, it's felt very aligned with kind of how I create and want to create and want to put things out into the world. So yeah, very different and more challenging in a lot of ways, but the kind of challenge that I hope to be able to do again and again in my career.
Well, you did it beautifully.
Oh, thank you, Claire. Really means a lot.
I loved it. I'm going to talk about time and funding and practicalities. Now, you said you were in Africa for a time. and I know that you have work to do to earn money. What was your situation when you were working on this particular show? Are you getting funding? Did you happen to just have time to be able to do it, or were you fitting it around other things?
Yeah, so when I went down and started this 6-month venture down there, I was doing a bit of freelance work here and there. And then I kind of dropped that because I realized my time there was finite and I wanted to just fully immerse in the new location that I found myself in and the new culture and life. So I wasn't working by the time this project came up. So I had time and space. And then I did get some monetary compensation from the organization to bring this story to life. I will say, I mean, I'm very, very appreciative of it. And it was what I asked for, but I was able to offer a decently low sum for what it was. Number one, because I was already there. So I didn't, you know, cover my flight to and from Kenya because I was already there. And that was a part of my pitch, really, was like, I'm here. So while I'm here, let's do something. And also, this was my first kind of project of this scope. And I wanted to really just get my foot in the door. So even though I did get compensation, which, you know, I'm sure everyone listening can appreciate is just not the easiest thing to do in this industry, if and when I continue down this path, that will still be something I kind of have to improve, if you will. But I did get something and I had the space because I wasn't doing any other kind of job at the time.
But there will be value for you from that, A, that learning that you've just said, and B, the learning of the actual doing a different style of show, having that to show other people.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I probably would have done it for free if it came down to it for exactly those reasons.
Yeah.
The skills, the experience, you know, and just the experience I got to have speaking to, you know, the people that opened up and shared their hearts and their stories with me, you know, that you can't even put a price tag on.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask podcasty questions now.
Okay.
Let's start with your frustrations and excitements about podcasting, whether your experience, the podcast industry, stuff you have to do around it. What are your thoughts on those?
Yeah, well, let's start with frustrations. I mean, one is, you know, difficult to monetize. I would venture to say that's a big thing for all creatives. That's just an ongoing theme. We have our creative endeavors, and then we have the things on the side that can help fund those. And podcasting, yeah, difficult in monetizing. That's an ongoing frustration. I think the other thing that came up when you asked that is, I don't know, for me, I like the storytelling component. And I guess, too, this is, again, probably the same plight of all creatives, not just podcasters. We like the creative component, but it's then everything else you have to do outside of that to package it up and present it to the world and market it. And, you know, I'm not a social media person, never have been, probably never will be, but to have a podcast and to not tell the world about it, you know, then no one hears it. And so it's really just everything outside of the actual podcast creation storytelling component itself. And then what excites me? I mean, I guess really it's just how accessible it is. So me, I was working for a health tech startup. I had no, you know, I never interviewed anyone in my life. I had no background in this at all. And I was able to, with the help of Google, Googling how to podcast and things such as that, slowly over time, completely change my career and hopefully put stories out into the world that have made an impact and a difference. So that's huge. And for me, that's worth putting up with all the frustrations, because that's just a part of it. Yeah. So the how accessible it is, and the fact that literally anything is possible.
They go together, don't they? The accessibility and the freedom. I mean, we wouldn't possibly have the voices that we do have with our shows if we had to go through radio executives or something.
Yeah. I guess that's it. That's a great point.
Do you know, have you heard, what do you know, if anything, about Podcasting 2.0 features?
Not much. I know it's like outside of the actual podcast episode and things that can help you get found and discovered.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, oh, exactly that. It's the wider things that you can have included in your RSS feed. They point to other places. So transcript, for example, is a very basic example, which is good for your SEO. Chapters I always bang on about because I love them. And then there are elements of monetization. So I was thinking about this series, and I was thinking about your connection with the Orchid Project, mm-hmm. because there are ways with modern podcast apps, including TrueFans, where your listeners can send you money within the app. Every podcast that I listen to, an episode or two for this, I stream a small amount of money per minute to that show. So when on TrueFans you go and claim your show, you'll find this little wallet, this digital wallet that you didn't know was there, and it'll have a tiny amount of money in it. If more people do that, that tiny amount of money will get bigger.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you can do with that digital wallet, and when you set up how you want your payments to be, is you can set up what are known as splits. So you could split the payments between yourself, for example, the Orchid Project. You might want to, for example, say on your episode, if you stream me money or send me a super comment, so much of that percent will go to this person and so much percent of that will go to this person. That was just an idea for the way you're working with these guys, and it might make people more willing to give you some money. I mean, I think it's a bit mean to say put a charity in there to make people want to pay you, but people don't tend to want to pay us because they think we want to do it for love, which we do, but...
Yeah, but we also need to eat.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other one is another monetization one, which I know that your host company doesn't support, but maybe in the future, and you can do it directly in TrueFans. There's a feature, it's called the funding feature. And if your hosting company allows it, you put in the link of where you want this funding icon that appears on modern podcasting apps to go to. So for example, I have one on TrueFans. There's a symbol of a hand with a heart on it. And if anyone clicks on that, on, say, Podcasting 2.0 in Practice, they'll be taken to my Buy Me a Coffee page. So they can go straight from the app to where you want your funding to go. So those were just two of the ones that I thought might be, you know, useful, personal, relevant to your particular show.
Totally. I appreciate that very much. And I have taken some notes here as you were speaking so I can look into all of this afterwards.
You know where I am if you have any questions.
Yes.
And I can make things sound easy. So thank you so, so much, Anna. It's been really lovely to chat with you. Tell me how and where everybody can find you in, oh, and especially in those social media places that none of us like.
Yeah. Yes, please go find me there. Make this a little easier. The website is thestoryofwomanpodcast.com, and the social media handles are some variation of The Story of Woman. So if you just put The Story of Woman, and that's woman like womankind, not women, then you will be able to find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Also from the website, you can get direct links to there. But yeah, just type in The Story of Woman.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks again, Anna. It's been lovely to chat. See you soon.
Thank you so much, Claire. Super lovely.
Anna tells me more about the origins of The Story of Woman and the series that came before the one we focused on in our chat, including an episode Anna recorded with Hillary Clinton and Cherie Blair. You'll find out more about all of that at the end of this episode of Creators.
There is a link to The Story of Woman in the show notes, and new episodes are highlighted on the homepage at TrueFans.
And if you would like to explore anything that Anna and I talked about in that interview, please leave us a comment or super comment, which, as you may know by now, is super easy to do in TrueFans by clicking on the speech bubble icon, or there is a tab under the icons called Comments.
While you're there, if you're an independent podcast creator, why not put yourself forward to be a future guest on Creators from TrueFans? It's great to talk to Claire, and also a great way to get publicity for your podcast.
If you'd like to chat with us about your independent podcast or your music, send a comment or super comment in TrueFans to any Creators episode by clicking on the speech bubble icon or on the Comments tab. Last time we were on, we talked about the wait list for hosting. Have we moved further along with that now, Sam?
No. I'm joking. Yes, of course we have. We opened up the wait list this week and I'm very excited to do that. And thanks you to Claire for all the help with getting that done. We've already moved this podcast, Creators from True Fans, from Buzzsprout over to True Fans. And we already removed FanZone from RSS.com over to True Fans. And they're all working wonderfully. It was super simple. You click a button called Switch to True Fans in your Creators dashboard. It will then take us, I don't know, depending on the number of episodes, it could be 20 minutes, 2 hours, we don't know. But we then move your episodes across and then we give you a little URL which you put into your existing host, which is called a redirect. That then sets it all up and all the directories and all the apps then naturally just work. And that's the method. We're being a bit cautious because I'm very nervous on moving anyone's podcast. This is their, you know, work of love. And, you know, screwing that up could be really painful in terms of trying to get that back. So we don't want to do that. So we're going to take step by step. But so far, so good. We're very excited because it's based on streaming data and not downloads. And what's the benefit, Claire? Well, there's two benefits. The first one is it means we can measure the amount of listen time your fans are actually listening to your podcast. So instead of getting a download number, which doesn't tell you whether they played it or didn't, this is number of plays, the actual listen time of each individual fan aggregated into a total listen time and also percent completed. So it's nice metrics to be able to give advertisers or sponsors. Yes, my show gets 70 hours of listen time a week and on average, it gets 80% completed. And here are all the apps that my podcast was listened to and here are all the countries and here are all the devices. So lots of data that we can give you back. So we're working on that before we open up the wait list completely. But yeah, step by step, we're getting there.
Yeah. Two things. We explain that all in nice, easy way to understand on the pricing page at True Fans that Sam and I have been working on. But the other thing I wanted to mention was moving FanZone and creators over. Obviously, I got a little bit nervous, but everything was there. All my chapters were there. All my people were there. And since then, I've added a new episode to FanZone. So I've gone in, added a new episode using True Fans as my host, as I would have done with RSS before. I put in my SRT file for the transcript. I put in my chapters as I would normally with my links and my photos, all exactly as I would have done in my other hosting company. And it worked superly.
Great. Yeah, no, I have to say it's been a pleasure to do this because I did worry, you know, we're trying to change the industry. We're trying to do something totally new, right? Which is not charge you a fixed fee per month. And that's the other thing, that the way that we're doing it is different. Because we can stream data, we can measure how much data that you're actually getting consumed by your fans. So we've set the price for the audio entry at $20, 20 euros, 20 pounds, 20 Aussie dollars. But it also means that if you don't use your full allocation of data, we will refund you the difference and put that into your True Fans wallet. So you're only paying for the amount of data your fans are consuming, which is different to what all other hosts do, where they charge you a fixed fee, whether you've used some or all the data. So yeah, that's one of the other things we've done differently.
Yeah, absolutely. It does make it all a lot clearer. Well, it does to me anyway.
Fanbox, Claire. Has anyone left us a message, Claire?
Yeah, we have. We've had some conversations recently from Martin Linderskog on True Fans. He sent us a super comment. This is interesting. Thanks for giving me material for my podcast, Swing That Gig. I will add Dave Spencer's podcast, The Media Mentor, so that's who we spoke with last time, to the pod roll. Sam, I will talk with you about the hosting feature. I am thinking of moving Tea Party Media in the future. I am using Alitu, Captivate and Podhome as hosting providers. Okay, so that's good. Just going to have a chat with you about moving some of those over. And he says, here is a Starship super comment. Now, I've spoken about this before, but as an explainer, a Starship comment means Martin sent us 1701 sats, and 1701 refers to the number of the original Starship Enterprise in the Captain James T. Kirk Star Trek days. So that's why that's a starship. Super comment. However, over on WhatsApp, Martin told us, I tried to send you 1701 Satoshis with a super comment, but I earned 100 sats instead. Smiley face with a sticky out tongue. Remind us why that happened, Sam.
That happened very simply because we decided that we will pay creators, fans, 100 sats if they leave a comment. Again, what I wanted to do it for was to show creators that we've built these tools that you can use to incentivize fans if you want to. So you can make payments to your fans for listening to a trailer. You can make payments for comments. You can make payments even for them to play your podcast if you really want. But the idea is that sats can flow two ways. It can be fans paying creators, or it can be creators incentivizing fans. And in this case, we have decided to incentivize people listening to this podcast to pay them. So if you're on True Fans listening to this podcast, we will put 100 sats in your wallet if you leave us a comment.
Please do. Okay. We also heard from the late Bloomer actor. Last time we talked about hosting for the first time, we introduced how it was going to work. And David John Clark says, listener data from every app, that's every in capital letters, question mark, that's a game changer, surely. Will that include demographics or just raw listener data? Now, we've just touched on that, haven't we? Already we were ahead of ourselves.
David did ask us as well on another channel. We will give you, well, first of all, we don't ask for gender or age on True Fans. That's not part of the profile. We don't have that data ourselves. And we won't be able to access that data from other apps either. What you will get, as I said before, is the ability to know that a fan has listened on Fountain or Podverse or Apple or Spotify, and you will know how long they listened, and you'll know what percent of your podcast they completed. So that's the data we will be able to give you across every app. But no, we don't have demographic data. We'll know what country they're from, and we'll know what device they use. But I think age and gender probably is a bit too much on the dipping into the privacy part of people's profiles.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, on Substack, I heard from Amanda B. from Six Degrees of Cats, who was my guest a few episodes ago, and she said, thank you, Claire and Sam. Was great to be a guest on the podcast. And for those who don't know, Creators has a Substack where I post written pieces about each episode in general, but also I like to post specifically about that episode's guest podcast. I also post those as blogs within True Fans itself, which is easy to do. So listeners can do a bit of reading if they wish directly within the app. I will link to that Substack in the chapter, in this chapter of this episode. But if you're listening on an app that doesn't support chapters yet, or links in chapters, you can find the link the old-fashioned way by scrolling down the show notes, which moves me nicely on. Sam.
Yes.
I had an email from Apple Podcasts this week.
Very nice.
Telling me they are improving the experience for episode chapters in Apple Podcasts. Sam, what are they doing?
Well, they're copying us, basically. Good to see that they're listening. No, the good news is, and it seemed like an obvious thing when you start to see what they do. So they were transcribing every episode of every podcast. And now, of course, what you can then do once you've transcribed every episode, you can build chapters very easily. So the memo from Tim Cook was start using Apple AI product managers. And this is what they're doing. They are allowing you to do automated chapters within Apple Podcasts app itself, which is great. They are using the podcasting 2.0 format, which is good. So it means that couple of things can happen. One, if you already have a host that supports podcasting 2.0 chapters, then those are the ones that will appear in the Apple Podcast app. But if you don't have chapters, then they will automatically generate those chapters. You can for example, also opt out and say to Apple, do not generate them for me. So I think it's a lovely feature that Apple's done, but welcome to the party, Apple. Nice of you to catch up.
I mean, I have long championed chapters. I use them for all of my podcasts. I often use images and links as well, using the 2.0 standard, as you mentioned. Originally, in order to get Apple to accept my transcripts rather than make its own, I would have to go to Apple Podcast Connect and tick a box that says use my transcripts, not your own. And so I checked to see if that was the case with chapters, but they only have one tick box that just says either use chapters or don't use chapters. So my assumption was that then if you gave them chapters, they'd take your chapters, but if you don't give them chapters, they'd make their own chapters. And then James actually did put it out on Pod News that same day, and he's got an FAQ that explains all about which I'll link to in this chapter, funnily enough. So my assumption was correct that you only need to tick once or untick.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the one thing from a true fan's point of view that we need to be very clear on, at the moment we don't have automated transcripts and automated chapters. That's one thing we don't have. It's coming very soon. Certainly transcripts will be here very soon. Automated transcripts, that's something that we're very keen on, and we've been we're very close to being able to push out. Automated chapters will be maybe a little bit longer because we need to implement some AI to do that, but that's the goal. We will get there.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good. I do hear from people when I talk about transcripts and chapters, and they'll say, well, Apple makes my transcripts for me, so that's it. That's all I need to do. But when you make your own transcripts and chapters, A, you have control over them, so you can make sure they're how you want them to be. But the other thing I like about them, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you can change them, and those changes will then be made in all the apps.
Yes.
Yeah. So if I wanted to add a chapter to one of my shows, like 3 weeks later, I can add that chapter with my hosting company.
Correct.
But if Apple are making my chapters for me, I can't change those, can I?
No. I mean, they're called JSON chapters because they are dynamic. So if you go into your existing host, any other podcasting 2.0 hosts that support podcasting 2 chapters, then yes, it's a separate file to your RSS feed, and it's a separate file to your audio. And therefore, any change you make to those chapters can be pushed out dynamically to all apps. Yes, you're right. If Apple makes your chapters, then they are Apple-only chapters, and they do not appear in any other app.
Yeah, good. So make your own chapters, people. It's fun.
Yes.
I wanted to tie this back in, actually. Sam, I told you about this earlier this week. So I had some feedback from the Independent Podcast Awards about my shortlisted but not winning show, Podcasting 2.0 in Practice. And one of the judges suggested that I reduce reliance on follow-along apps by adding companion visuals or transcripts and a cross-platform walkthrough that work in any podcast player. Now, I'm not sure what they mean by a cross-platform walkthrough, but in fact, I think I've done one better, because rather than giving myself the extra work, all I've done is I've waited for one of the biggest podcast apps to decide they should display my chapters and become a follow-along app. So I think I was right.
I think so, because like all these things, I mean, no offense to whoever he or she was as a judge, but their view was, oh, chapters are not in Apple, therefore they don't exist. It only exists when Apple does it for some people. I find that quite weird. I do love the fact that there are more and more people waking up to the idea of what all these tags are in Podcasting 2.0. I mean, a good example is the location tag, which has now come out. And being able to say where you record or where the subject of your podcast is about is brilliant. It means that when we get a critical volume of data and it's coming, we'll be able to build services on top of that. So for example, one of the plans we have is to be able to say, okay, my podcast is about creativity found. So it's creative people, but I'm in Oxford. Okay, click. I wonder if there's other people in Oxford who have a podcast that's tagged around that same thing that I've tagged my podcast as. Oh, there are. There's three of us. Why don't we all get together in real life or online? Right. So The thing that I'm loving about what's happening with podcasting right now is that the core fundamentals of data, transcripts, chapters, location are being put in. And then on top of that, we'll begin to see the value-added services, you know, timed links, as Apple call them, which is just basically looking at the transcript and seeing if there was a mention of a book or a film or an event, and highlighting that to the listener is a secondary value to just doing the transcript. And I think that's what we're going to see in 2026. We're going to see a lot more people building services on top of the core data that is being exposed by the creators of podcasts. You know, here's my guest. Has this guest been on 6 other shows? Oh, here's all the shows that guest has been on. That's the sort of great value add that we can start to build.
Yeah, I think that's what we're trying to do and keep doing is explaining why it's good rather than focusing on the tech and how you make it work. We want to tell people this is why it would be a good thing because this can help you in this way.
Yes. Benefit, benefit, benefit.
Exactly.
So if you're listening to this podcast, it comes out on Mondays, doesn't it, Claire? So on Tuesday, you and I, November the 11th, will be in London. We're going to be at City University, 6:30. It's for the British Podcast Awards. The winners will be there talking about their podcast. So if you fancy coming along, A, to meet me or Claire, well, that's just a bonus, isn't it, really? But B, if you want to listen to some award-winning podcasters talk about how they create their podcasts and what they go through, then I highly recommend coming. Obviously, if you're in America or Australia, this is not going to be very helpful to you, so apologies. But if you're in the UK and you're near London, then November the 11th at City University, come and join us. We'll be there.
I will, of course, put a link in the chapter. And if you are there and you know Sam and I by voice or a still photo, do come and say hello and introduce yourselves.
I'm the short Indian.
I'm the short redhead.
And that's it for this week, Claire. Our audio is recorded on Riverside, edited by the wonderful Claire Waite Brown, and we're hosted by Buzzsprout.
Thought we were hosted for true fans. That's why I was.
Let me try that again. I just read the script, didn't I? Okay, let me try it again.
I didn't change it.
And that's it for this week, Claire. Our audio is recorded on Riverside. It's edited by the wonderful Claire Waite Brown. And we're hosted by, yes, finally, True Fans.
Woo! And I'll edit the script next time. You can support this show by streaming Sats from your True Fans wallet or leave us a super comment or better still, become a monthly supporter of this show.
If you'd like to promote your podcast in this feed, then click on your avatar and go to your creator's dashboard. On there, you'll find an edit icon, which looks like a pencil icon. Go to the promotions tab, and in that promotions tab, you can choose which podcast you'd like to put your promotion on. In this case, find creators from True Fans, send us a request, and we'll happily approve you to be put into the feed for this show.
Fabulous. You can find out more about how to use the features of the True Fans platform, including now how to claim your show by listening to our sister podcast, Fan Zone. And if you're keen to learn more about podcasting 2.0, perhaps chapters, for example, there's a lot in this show about chapters, and that show is my other show called Podcasting 2.0 in Practice. So give that a look. Don't forget, you can keep listening to hear more from this episode's featured creator. Okay, right, let's talk about Story of Woman before this series. Listeners can hear a lot more about this by listening to one of the very good Creativity Found episodes. But in the meantime, tell me about how Story of Woman started initially, when and how, and then how it developed until we get to this point.
Yes, I loved that Creativity Found episode. I mean, I love your whole podcast and yeah, loved chatting with you then. And I'm originally a nurse by background, so very much not trained journalist or anything like that, as probably many podcasters will relate to. You know, that's one thing about it. It's accessible to all of us. But as so many of these stories start, the pandemic happened and I was reading all of these books, all of these nonfiction books about women and gender, and they were all blowing my mind left and right. And I was just willing this information to be out in the world. But I knew that, you know, I look out into the world and see the disconnect between what I was learning in these books and the way that our systems actually operated. And then I also knew there was a big kind of disconnect in the people that might read these books because, you know, not everybody reads, not everybody reads nonfiction, and certainly not everybody reads nonfiction books about women and gender. So my idea really came through because I wanted to make the ideas in these books more accessible versus like, I want to start a podcast. It was, I want to make them accessible. And I think podcasting is a really great medium. So I started to reach out to the authors of these books and kind of sold them on my vision, if you will, of, you know, I want to make your work more accessible. I am not an expert. All I want to be is a kind of mouthpiece. That's really how it started, and it went better than I ever could have dreamed, and it just kind of grew one day at a time from there until I, yeah, most recently found myself in Kenya on the grounds and carrying out this latest project.
You changed the content a bit in so much as the first series was the books, but then it changed. Tell me about the other ones.
Yeah, so the first series was all books, exactly as you say, and then the second series, I had the absolute incredible opportunity to interview Hillary Clinton and Cherie Blair at the same time in a joint interview, which actually was conducted in person. And it was my first ever in-person interview, which is just wild. But kind of centering around that opportunity. Now, of course, they've both written books, so I didn't have to change it because of that. But centering around this opportunity that came up. I mean, I guess it's kind of twofold. One, as I delved into this more and I'm like 25 episodes in, I start to see all the different ways that I can still tell these different types of stories, but by speaking to, for example, a politician or to someone who won a Nobel Peace Prize for something who, you know, maybe didn't write a book about it. So there was already that those seeds kind of germinating, and then this opportunity was there as well. So season two was all about change and how do we make change happen? And Cherie and Hillary were the episode one of that, and really looking at change within our world in general, and then more specifically within politics. And then I had about two people for every topic following. So I had politicians, entrepreneurs, elite athletes, people who are working with climate justice and climate change, and so on and so forth. So it all had to do with change, but within that, different industries, and how are people changing the industries that they're working in? What needs to be changed? You know, where are we at? Where are we going? What needs to be changed? And how do we get there? And then, yeah, season three, which is the latest one before this Kenya, was a bit of a mix of all of it. So there wasn't a kind of central theme such as change, and it wasn't just authors, but it was a combination of authors and, again, politicians, entrepreneurs, people out in the world, always looking at their different area of the world through a gendered lens and essentially asking the questions, where are we? How did we get here? And how do we move forward to improve the situation that we're in?
Brilliant. You mentioned about the monetization. Does the show Story of Women as a whole, like, do you have a Patreon or advert sponsorship, anything like that, however small it may be?
Yeah, I have a Patreon, but that's dwindled over the years because I guess, you know, obviously the thing with podcasting is if you're not doing it and continuing to do it, I couldn't really in good faith continue to ask people to continue to pay and support, even though it would fund future projects, but I'm not putting out a new episode every week. You know, there's not something that they're getting per se in that traditional Patreon model where, you know, you pay and support and then you get these ongoing things. Mm. So I had Patreon back when I was more regularly releasing episodes, but that doesn't really exist anymore. I've tried the like programmatic ad route and just made pennies. It was kind of like, this isn't worth it that my listeners get to hear these ads that don't feel super relevant to my show. And at the end of the day, my paycheck is for like less than a pound. So
yeah,
this newest way I'm hoping is something that I can pursue more in the future, which is working with organizations that are doing the kind of work of the stories that I want to tell anyway. So like this one with Orchid Project, it's the exact type of stories I want to be doing and telling anyway, and where I could help bring the impact of their story to life and then, you know, get a bit of money for it. So that is my plan moving forward, to see if I can get some more projects like that. So anybody got ideas out there, feel free to holler.